I want to thank James for getting that video up for me today. That was good to kind of go along with what I want to share with you this morning. And I do hope you will keep Melinda in your prayers this morning as she's mending, and she'll be back with you. And keep me in your prayers as I'll try to share with you some thoughts that came to me this week. Came to me after Melinda called me on Thursday and said that she was not going to be here. But we've been kind of looking at different things in our Sunday school. If you haven't, or if you don't go to Sunday school, you're missing out on a lot. We attended a funeral this week on Friday, and a couple of the people that came got up and spoke about this lady. There was one word there, was a joy. They kept speaking about joy. And the preacher said that the joy she really felt was a joy in God's word. And she was an avid reader of God's word. And there were several scriptures that were read at her funeral so that she could hear God's word again. But another thing, too, that's bothered me a lot is my own dealing with my own Christian faith, as far as my belief in Jesus Christ is strong, but my acting upon that faith is weak. And sometimes I think that I need an extra boost, and I need some things that will stir me up a little bit. And when I read the book of Acts, I've studied it several times in Bible studies, and we had a short lesson today about Dorcas or Tabitha in the book of Acts and her death and Peter's bringing her back to life again. Luke wrote this gospel, wrote this book, rather, as a sequence to his gospel of Luke. But he also wanted to share with us the infancy of the Christian church, of God's church. You know, the church is supposed to be God's bride in the end. And that's what we're a part of here at Kipling United Methodist Church, is part of God's church. We're not necessarily Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever denomination that you could think of. We're all Christians. And one of the things that God showed us was his love to us by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. And what we're called upon to do is to do the same thing in our Christian life. And one of the things that Luke tried to do in his writing of the book of Acts was to share with us how Christians shared that love, how they shared trials and tribulations, how they shared persecution, how they lifted one another up. I think of several of the, I guess you can say, heroes of Acts. Barnabas was one of them that helped out Paul when he was coming in, and he was an encourager. He encourages him, and he helped him in time in which people were putting him down and afraid of him. He took him to the side, took him under his wing, and shared with the people. But when I was just sitting there thinking about what can I share with you, devotional, I guess. But many years ago, I've shared this with you before, I think, from the pulpit, because I've used some of the devotions in some of my sermons. But Billy's daddy and I always had a good talk about Jesus Christ and the Lord. And he knew I was involved in the scriptures, and I enjoyed studying the scriptures. So he shared with me he belonged to what called the Newsletters in the World Challenge series, which at that time was led by David Wilkerson. And he saved his letters and he gave them to me. I still got a lot of them he gave me, and then I subscribed to it after Billy's father passed. He had always passed them to me, and I've been keeping them and kind of going through them. But he had one particular newsletter in which he dealt with a topic that I feel like that I have some problems with sometimes, and that is acting like a Christian, as I should, and being the Christ-like person that God wants me to be. And he had, and it was kind of good to feel like that you're not the only one that goes through this. His son, Gary, took over his ministry after his tragic death of David in an automobile accident. And Gary wrote this article, and he was sharing his own testimony. And I liked it because I liked some of the things that it said. And I thought I would share some of the thoughts that he had. But as far as the centering text goes, I want to start with just reading the first 10 verses of the book of Acts. If you have your Bible there and kind of follow along with me, our scripture will be coming from Acts, the first chapter, the first 10 verses. In my former book, Theolopus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the time nor the date the Father has set by our own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning just as a vessel. Nothing more, nothing less. Just a pawn, willing to be used by you to share your word. I pray now, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll speak through me, that you'll allow my words to come out, that will help those here to receive a message, dear Heavenly Father, that they need, or understanding, dear Heavenly Father, that they don't understand. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your guidance, and I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name, dear Heavenly Father, I pray this and ask these things. Amen. Are you a Book of Acts kind of person? And I really don't think I am. As I said, Gary Wilkerson shared some of his testimony about when he was not a Book of Acts type person. He was a great preacher, a great teacher. And when he was in Amman, Jordan, one day, traveling back from his hotel to the convention center where they were having a meeting, he looked out the window at the car and he began to see all the people that he was passing by. And notice I said passing by. And he said, "I wonder how many of these people know Jesus Christ? How many of these people know the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could have in their lives if they only knew him?" And it made me thinking, it made him think about, I'm going to a conference and I'm going to share about Jesus Christ to a lot of my colleagues, to a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers and so forth. But he says, I think what I've done though is I failed to share my message to the common people, the people that pass by me every day. And when I read that, I thought about, that's the same way I feel. People go by me every day. I go by them, I meet them, they go right by me, or I pass by them. I never give a thought about their salvation. I never give a thought about if there's some way I could pray for them, if I could help them. Jesus said to his disciples that I'm going to make you teachers. I'm going to share with you, and I want you to share this to everybody, even to the end of the world. And so sharing Jesus was easy for Gary to do at a conference, but it was difficult for him if he met somebody. He said he would not just go up to somebody and say, do you know Jesus loves you? Or if he meets somebody that's sick, he wouldn't say, let me pray for you, brother. It seemed like he didn't have that type of willingness to go. Jesus tells us, as I said, to go and preach the word of the gospel, healing the sick, and proclaiming the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is here in all the world. And all the world is our daily lives. Many of us bring Jesus to us when we come to, bring Jesus with us when we come to church. But not so much do we talk about him or bring him with us in our daily lives. We leave him at church, we come to church, we come to Sunday school, we come to Bible studies, but we seem to leave him there. We pray for the sick and ask people to receive Christ in our churches on Sunday morning. We did that this morning. We prayed for the sick. And I pray that if you've not received Christ this morning, that you'll receive him as your Lord and Savior. We do that in a church setting. But we do that. Do we do that every day in our daily lives? I know I don't. And I really think I should be doing that more and more in my life. And Gary thought that too. So he said, now, Lord, I need help in this area. He says, what you need is a baptizing of the Holy Spirit in your heart. A baptizing. You got a lot of head knowledge, but you don't have that Holy Spirit knowledge in your heart. It says, and as I said, most of the rest of the time when we share Jesus in our Sunday school classes, we share him in our, from the pulpit, I'm sharing with you this morning. But when we go out those doors, do we share Jesus? The New Testament model that Jesus taught us was to proclaim the good news, to heal the sick, and be willing vessels to bring his kingdom on earth. Jesus said he would supply the power that would be needed to witness. He said he would supply the power. That's why he told them, he said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem until I send the Holy Spirit. Because you're not going to be able to do this without the power. Because Satan's too powerful. And the gap we have between what the New Testament model is, on one end, we've got our lives, our faith. And on the other end, we have the New Testament model for sharing Jesus. They're a long ways apart in most of us' lives. They are in mine. It's a long ways. To shorten that distance, what I need is just what Gary said he needed, was a baptism of God's love. When God sends us people across our path, our role is not to target them just for evangelism. It's to love them with powerful and discerning and Wonderful Working Love. Gary said there is one obstacle that we have in our way a lot, and I know it's in my way, and it's called fear. Gary Wilkerson said, there is one barrier more than any other that keeps us from loving boldly as Jesus did. It's fear. When we imagine doing the work of Jesus, we're afraid of people, of what they might think, or we're afraid that we might fail. The Apostle John addressed this in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 18. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with the punishment, and whatever fear has, wherever fear has not been perfected in love. If you've not been perfected in love, then you're going to be fear. Fear is why so many of us hesitate to pray for someone's healing. We think, what if I pray for somebody and God doesn't heal them? Gary Wilkerson had an answer for this. He said, if someone we pray for isn't healed, they still know they're loved. Being free from our fears brings about incredible changes. Being free from fears helps us in several ways. I'll share with you that in just a minute. But in 2 Timothy, Paul writes this. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and of a sound mind. Freedom from fear does several things for us. One thing it does, it allows us to think clearly on all levels. If we have fear, we can't think problems through. It totally frees us from Satan's accusations. Satan will take every opportunity he can to put a little bit of doubt in our mind. Don't pray for that person. There's no hope for him making it. He's got terminal cancer. There's no sense in praying for him. I know that prayers work, and I've shared this with several of you before in the Sunday school class, and we have him on our prayer list now, Royce Collins. And we need to continue to pray for him because I understand now he's in the hospital with pneumonia. I found that out this morning. But several months ago, the doctors told him, told his wife, told his children, that he had probably 10 days. Hospice was called in. Prayers began to go up for Royce. And Royce was ready to meet the Lord. He said he was. And he, in a month's time, he was out walking around in his yard. He was eating. He removed all the tubes from him. And he's just a miracle in itself. So I know prayers work. But sometimes prayers don't always end that way. But whether they end in death or whether they end in not completely healing, as we know, when we pray for somebody, it lifts them up. It gives them a spirit of hope. And that's what we need to give, is a spirit of hope. It allows us to be able to sense the Father's vast, merciful love for us. When we don't have fear, we can sense God's love for us. God loves you. Gary said this. He said, after I prayed that prayer that night, I got on the elevator the next morning going down to get in the car to go over to the convention center. He said, this guy was in the elevator, and he got off, and he said, you know, sir, Jesus loves you, and I love you. And all that guy could say was, like that. He said, but he still knows that thought was planted, and he was able to do that. He met a man that next week that was in a wheelchair, a veteran that had been, he said, how are you doing? He said, well, my leg's hurting real bad. It's hurting so bad. He said, let me pray for you. So he prayed for his leg to quit hurting. And he said, the guy said, you know, I think it's quit hurting. You see, sometimes just offering a prayer for somebody calms them down, helps them out, and gives them a sense of hope. And it may have still been hurting, but he didn't think it was. And lastly, and most amazingly, probably, when we don't have fear, is we're able to think with the mind of Christ himself. When he frees us from fear, we are free to love people with his love and to minister to their deepest needs. When Jesus frees us from our fears. I'm kind of like the disciples in a way, and that's one of why I kind of chose this topic, and I shared a little bit with this morning with the Sunday school class. The disciples came up to Jesus and said that he wanted him to increase their faith, because he kept talking about faith. Jesus did. He said, you got to have faith. Say faith to this mountain and it'll move. He wanted him to increase. Well, in Luke, the 17th chapter, he answers them this way. He says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, if you believe, things will change for you. A lot of things will happen. I was sharing with them this morning about faith in the Sunday school class. I know I've got to have a lot more faith in what I can do for God. But we shared with the fact, I said, now if you look at a chair and you look at it and you say, well, let me think about this for a moment. Will this chair hold me up? Is it strong enough? You may go around and rock it and put your hand on it. Or sit down in these pews. If you looked at the pew and said, well, I better test this out or make sure, let somebody else sit down first. You know, you probably would take forever to sit down. And I gave them another example that I thought of this week when I was going back and forth to Littleton, was bridges. If every bridge you came to, if you stopped and got out and had to look it over and make sure it was all right to cross it, you probably would never go very far. But what do? We see a chair, we go down and sit down in it. We don't give it a thought about not holding us up. We cross a bridge. Across the bridge at Littleton. Never passed my mind that it could fall. And it could. It could fall. Unlikely, but it could. But what I'm saying in a sense is that you have to have this kind of faith that you don't think about it. When you meet somebody and they come up and they tell you that they're sick, don't think about, well, should I pray for them? What will people think if we have a prayer right here in the middle of a store or in the middle of a shopping mall? What will people think if I put my hands around them and we just open up and have a prayer? You don't think about that. If you really got this down pat, then you'll just say, let me pray for you, brother. Let me pray for you, sister. And you pray for them. In other words, if you believe, you begin to say in faith to the sick, be healed. If you truly believed, you would say to the lost, come and know Jesus. If you say to the brokenhearted, be comforted. You would say to those in the darkness, turn to the light. The important thing here is not just getting more faith, but stepping out in faith that we have. What I need to do, and for some of us, all of us probably need to do this, is to take that knowledge that I have in my head about Jesus Christ and his love and his promises, just as they saw him going up in heaven. We talked about the difference between hope and faith a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Our hope, just like these disciples, the angels told them, it says, he will return. He will return. And every funeral, there is some scripture that says that in the, one day, we'll all be reunited together. Our loved ones that's passed on, we'll be reunited together. As I said, what I need to do is to take that knowledge I have in my head and move it. That 18 inches, I don't know if that's the exact anatomical distance or not, but 18 inches, move it from my head to a love-baptized heart. That's what I need to do. That's what Ray Bryant needs to do. And I don't know what you need to do, but that's what I need to do. Let us pray.